Your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation, chapter 19. We are studying the four hallelujahs. This is part three in our study. I'm not going to read. You know I've been reading Revelation 19, 1 through 7, but tonight I'm going to stop with verse 3, and I have a reason for that. Read with me as we read Revelation 19, beginning with verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we do thank You tonight for Your presence in this house. And oh God, how I need Thy presence, because God, what we're talking about tonight, God, it's a little bit hard to understand sometimes. So I pray, Father, that You'll open our minds and open our hearts. And God, make us receptive to Thy Word. May Thy Holy Spirit, God, teach us. God, I pray You'll fill me with Thy Holy Spirit and give me the words to say and the way to say it, so that God all can understand. Pray, God, this will be a blessing. I pray, God, You'll just take control. Pray, Lord, You'll glorify Thy Son. And God, that You'll open our eyes and help us to see how close, God, we must be to these things that we are speaking of tonight. God, You have Your way. Glorify Your Son. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you all know, we are studying the four hallelujahs of Revelation 19. The word hallelujah is an unusual word. It's found in the Bible transliterated four times. And you're looking at those four times in verses 1 through 7. The word's not found in the Bible. Now, the word is translated in the Bible, in the Psalms. And you can read, I think it's Psalm 104, 105, the last two verses in those two psalms says, praise ye the Lord. That's hallelujah. And that's what the word means. It means praise ye the Lord. And it is the highest form of vocal praise that can be given to God. Yet in Revelation 19, we find this word used four times in succession. Beloved, something is going on. And since this takes place in heaven, something must be going on that has all of heaven excited. I mean, you know, heaven is going to be an exciting place. People got the idea, you know, heaven, hey, you know, you just lay around all. But let me tell you, heaven is going to be an exciting place. But here something's happened that causes heaven, beloved, to break out in hallelujahs to God. And believe me, those folks in heaven are used to excitement. But this thing has got to be something special. Something, beloved, that has the hearts of every creature in heaven breaking out in praises to God. What is it? What is it that causes the people of heaven? That causes, by the way, did you know there are people in heaven? You better believe it. When we say people, we don't mean spirits. We mean, beloved, people. There's going to be people in heaven. You and I are going to be there as people. That causes the people of heaven. That causes the 24 elders, which is the church. That causes, beloved, the four beasts before the throne. That causes, the Bible says, a great multitude, so great that it sounds like many waters and great thunderings, to break out in hallelujahs to God. Well, that's what we're looking at. And from the context of the scripture here, we believe that what it is four events that bring four hallelujahs. And beloved, it's two events that happened before the tribute of praise. And then there's two events that will happen after the tribute of praise in chapter 19. That which happens before is what we have been looking at for the last 2 weeks, which we are going to look at tonight. And that is, beloved, the destruction of Babylon. The destruction of Babylon. Now, remember, all of this takes place at the end of the tribulation period. Beloved, the next major thing to happen on God's prophetic timetable is what? The rapture. The rapture of the church. The Bible says the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we that are alive and remain who are saved are going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, beloved. That is the next thing to happen. Now, the rapture will be followed by 7 years of tribulation on this earth. Those 7 years are when God, beloved, will pour out His judgments on the earth. Then, at the end of the tribulation, the Lord returns in glory with His church all the way to the earth and sets up His kingdom. Now, these events we're studying happen toward the end of the tribulation. Keep that in mind. Now, turn over in your Bibles to verse 18, or chapter 18. Chapter 18. Last week, we saw the destruction of Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And beloved, from the clues in chapter 17, we surmise that this was the one world church that will exist during the tribulation period under the mantle of Rome, of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, if you look at the clues in chapter 17, which is what we just did the last 2 weeks, it's plain that this is Roman Catholicism. Now, tonight, in chapter 18, we're going to see the destruction of Babylon the Great. Now, somebody said, whoa, preacher. Whoa, you're repeating yourself. No, I'm not. Beloved, we saw the destruction of Babylon, the mother of harlots, last week. This week, we're going to see the destruction of Babylon the Great. Now, and the truth is, beloved, last week we saw the destruction of ecumenical Babylon. Ecumenical Babylon. That world church headed up by the Vatican and the false prophet. Tonight, we're going to see the destruction, now follow me, of commercial Babylon. Of commercial Babylon. Y'all hot? Want to turn the fans on? Hit them, Leonard, if you would. You see, the destruction of Babylon, beloved, is in two parts. Religious Babylon, and then commercial Babylon. Y'all got to stick with me on this or you won't understand a thing I'm saying. They are not the same, beloved. Religious Babylon and commercial Babylon. But they both came from the same source, and that source is ancient Babylon. That's why they're called, both are called Babylon, beloved. You see, ancient Babylon was a city. It was a city. And beloved, it had a religious aspect to it. But it also had a commercial aspect. It had a spiritual aspect, and it had a worldly or commercial aspect. And you know, all cities do. I don't care what city you look at. Beloved, every city has a religious aspect and a commercial aspect. But you look at any city you want to, and beloved, you'll see churches and temples and synagogues and mosques. That's the religious aspect. But beloved, they also have stores and shops and businesses and banks. That's the worldly or the commercial aspect. You see, beloved, both make up that city. And both of these, beloved, are for the people of that city. You see, man is flesh and spirit. Amen? And beloved, for their spiritual needs, there is a religious part of the city. But beloved, for their physical needs, there is a commercial part of the city. So ancient Babylon was a city of two parts, religious and commercial. And both of these parts, beloved, were vile and wicked. Both parts were Babylon. Do you understand? Have I lost you? Both parts were Babylon. Now, by the way, both parts of ancient Babylon spread all over the world. The religious part and that commercial part, beloved. It spread all over the world. All right. But it began in ancient Babylon. Now, here in the tribulation, God judges both parts. First, He judges religious Babylon. We saw that last week and the week before in chapter 17. Tonight, He judges, we're going to see Him judge commercial Babylon. But it's important that you understand that these two aspects of Babylon are not the same. In chapter 17, it's religious, beloved. It's religious Babylon destroyed. In chapter 18, it's commercial. Commercial Babylon being destroyed. Now, somebody says, preacher, how do you know they're not the same? How do you know chapter 17 and chapter 18 aren't talking about the same thing? All right. Well, beloved, first of all, one is destroyed by the kings of the earth. Who is that? Talked about last week. Religious Babylon. Remember, the kings of the earth destroyed it. Beloved, Babylon of chapter 18 is destroyed by cataclysmic judgments from God. We see that in Isaiah 13 and 14. We see that in Jeremiah 50 and 51. Also, in religious Babylon, beloved, when religious Babylon is destroyed, the kings of the earth do what? What do they do? Remember? They rejoiced. They rejoiced that this religious Babylon was destroyed, beloved. But the Babylon of chapter 18, when she's destroyed, the kings and the merchants lament and weep and cry and wail, beloved, because she is destroyed, as we will see. So they are not the same. Amen? Do you see that? They're not the same. Now, okay, bear with me. Looking in chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Alright. Beloved, this chapter begins with the words, after these things. After what things? Talk to me. Absolutely. After what we just saw in chapter 17, after religious Babylon is destroyed, after these things, there appeared another angel. Now get that. Another angel. This is not the same angel, beloved, that John was talking to in chapter 17. If you remember, that angel was one of the angels with the vials. But this angel, beloved, this angel came down from heaven. And he came with great power, the Bible says. And the earth was lighted with his glory. Now, I've got an idea who this angel is. Who do you think it is? I think it's Jesus. I think it's Jesus. Beloved, he says, with great, he came from heaven with great power, and the earth is lighted. I believe the Lord himself, beloved, came down in the form of an angel, as he did in the Old Testament, and he's speaking to John, and he says, Babylon the Great is fallen. Folks, Bible scholars tell us that the double phrase, is fallen, means suddenly. It means quickly. Babylon will fall quickly, beloved. This commercial Babylon will fall quickly in a moment. Now, understand, this angel is not announcing something that has happened. You understand? He's not here at the beginning of chapter 18. He's not announcing something that has happened. He's announcing something that is about to happen. He's announcing something, beloved, that's going to happen. And we see this all through the book of Revelation. We see an angel, beloved, telling something as if it's already happened, but it hadn't happened yet. But it's fixing to happen. It's about to happen. In other words, beloved, this angel is foretelling what is about to happen. He's telling it as a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. It's got to happen. Babylon the Great is fallen. He's telling it, beloved, as if it had already happened. Now, what's about to happen? Babylon the Great is about to fall. And I say that, it don't mean anything to us. But I'm telling you, beloved, this is going to be catastrophic for this world. This is not Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. That's religious Babylon. That's already been destroyed, beloved. Now, this is Babylon the Great, commercial Babylon. Now, we're at the end of the tribulation, and commercial Babylon is about to fall. Look with me at verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, why is this commercial Babylon about to fall? Because all the nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication. You see, just as religious Babylon intoxicated the world, beloved, with false gods and false religion, beloved, commercial Babylon has intoxicated the world, beloved, with materialism, with the love of money and things more than God. You remember what 1 Timothy 6:10 says? It says, for the love of money is the root of what? All evil. Boy, that's quite a statement, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all evil. Let me ask you, who are we supposed to love supremely? God. The greatest commandment, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. Beloved, but what does the world love most? Talk to me. Money. Money, beloved. That's what the world loves. Now, that's what this commercial Babylon does, beloved. It pulls the world away from God. Causes the world to love money and love things more than it loves God. That's what this is about, beloved. That's what's going on here. Beloved, this world loves money more than God. And the reason that it does, I'm talking about today, is because of commercial Babylon. Started way back in ancient Babylon and spread all over the world. Let me ask you a question. Just think about this for a minute. What guides us? What guides us? What leads us? I mean, here's a man in a church. Got a good church. Good, I mean, Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. Good people. Great church. And then one day he comes up to the preacher, the deacon, and he says, "Man, I tell you, I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to move. I'm going to have to, you see, I got another job, making a lot more money, and I'm going to have to move to another city. I'm going to have to find me another church." What led him?
Money.
You reckon he, and I've had this happen, you reckon he spent any time in prayer saying, "God, what should I do?" Honestly, let's be honest about it. 9 times out of 10, no. No. It was the money that led him. Who's supposed to lead us? Who's supposed to guide us? God. God. But you see, beloved, that is Babylon. And that has been instilled in people. We look, when our kids, all the way through school, we tell them, "Hey, you know, you need to go to college and you need to get a good job making a lot of money, you know." What about teaching them, "Hey, you need to seek God's will. And you need to do what God wants you to do. God wants you to be a doctor, you be a doctor. But if God wants you to be a ditch digger, you be a ditch digger. You do what God wants you to do."
Amen.
But you see, that's Babylon. That's Babylon. I told Martha when I prayed, when we were coming, I said, "Boy, this ain't going to be popular tonight." But I'm telling you, this stuff has been instilled in us from commercial Babylon, folks.
Amen.
And what it's done is it's pulled us away from God instead of God leading us. We let money lead us. We let money lead us. Where do we get our security from? God, supposedly. But what do people look for security? Money. You see how the love of money has replaced the love of God? The love of God. Martha came home today. Y'all know she works at Tech or Community College now. Teaches part time. She came home today. She said, "I don't know if I'm going to have a class." She said, "They don't have but 2 students signed up. 2 students. And I was proud of her because she said, "I'm not going to worry about it. God's going to do something. God's going to do something." See, the security is not in your jobs. It's not in your money. Beloved, your security is in God. But the world thinks, "Hey, I got to have plenty of money if I'm going to be secure. I got to have, you know, a great job." Your job could go just like that.
That's right.
And your money could be gone tomorrow. You say, "Preacher, oh boy, I got a whole buku in the bank." It can be gone just like that. In fact, you're going to see it's going to happen. It's going to be gone just like that. Just like that. But hopefully you won't be here because that'll be during the tribulation. Hopefully. Okay? But think about the effect that the love of money has. What motivates us to do money, beloved? And what does the majority follow after? God? Money. 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 Look you see, that's what Babylon did, beloved. Babylon pulled the world away from God, religiously and commercially. It pulled the world away from God by their false gods religiously. But Babylon also pulled the world away from God by causing her to love money more than God, to depend on money more than God, to follow money more than God, beloved. Commercially, it led the world away. God judged the religious part of Babylon in chapter 17. Now He judges this commercial part. Look at verses 4 and 5. Oh gosh, no, this ain't going to get nowhere. Verses 4 and 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, wrong chapter, I'm in chapter 19. 4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. God, now, beloved, John hears another voice. And this is a voice of warning. Or you could call it a voice of grace, because God didn't have to do it. He didn't have to warn them, beloved. But it's the grace of God. And the voice says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, that ye not be judged along with her. Now, who is this voice, beloved, talking about when it says, my people? Who is it talking about? Is it, well, you know, it could be the tribulation saints. You know there are going to be folks saved during tribulation. Amen? Could be the tribulation saints that He calls my people. It could be the Jews, beloved. And we all know that the Jews, beloved, are very, and I'm trying to be kind here, commerce-minded. It could be the Jews. But, beloved, at this stage of the tribulation, at the end, when the mark of the beast, remember the mark of the beast? You got to receive a mark in your forehead or your hand, the mark of the beast or of Antichrist. And if you don't receive that mark, you cannot buy or sell. So people are going to have to make a choice during the tribulation. They're going to have to say, I'm going to be true. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to give my allegiance to God, or I'm going to give my allegiance to Antichrist. And they're going to have to choose between being able to buy and sell or be saved. Or be saved. And it could be, beloved, that this is a warning to those in the tribulation. Hey, don't take that mark. Don't go after the money. Don't go after the buying and selling. Go after God. Go after God. But I also believe it's a warning to the Christians of today. See, all Scripture is relevant to us, beloved. And I believe it's to Christians today. And what God is saying, don't love your job. Don't love your condo. Don't love your car. Don't love your house. Don't love all these things that money can buy, or money itself, more than you love God. More than you love God. Because commercial Babylon and all who partake of her wine will face the judgment of God. Will face the judgment of God. Her sins have reached to heaven, and God remembers her iniquities. You know, folks, everyone has to choose what they're going to live their life for. Are you going to live your life for money, for the things that money can buy? Or are you going to live your life for God? I wish I could get that across to our young people. You got to choose what you're going to live your life for. Years ago, there was a man named William Borden. William Borden, this is true. How many of you have ever heard of Borden products? The cheese and all that stuff? The dairy stuff? Okay. That started in the 1800s. And this young man was born in the 1800s. And he was heir to what they called the Borden fortune. When he was when he was a young boy, his mother, thank God his mother, got saved and was very religious. And she took this young boy, took him to hear R.A. Torrey preach, the great preacher. And he got saved. And I mean, he was just a child, but boy, he got gloriously saved. And he lived his life for God. When he got to be 16, he graduated from what you and I would call high school. And his mother bought him a trip around the world. She wanted her son. He had been raised in comfort. He had been raised with the best of everything. And she wanted him to see what the world was like. She wanted him to see places where people didn't have food to eat, where people, beloved, lived in huts, where people had never heard the gospel and knew nothing about Christ. And so she bought him that ticket. And he took off as a 16-year-old boy around the world. He got halfway around the world about. And he wrote his mama a letter. And he had seen all of this terrible conditions. And he said, Mama, I believe that God may be calling me to the mission field. He got 2/3 of the way. And his mama got another letter. And in that letter he said, Mama, I know God is calling me to the mission field. And he wrote in his Bible, on that date, he wrote and put the date there, he wrote no reserve on the front of his Bible. Meaning that beloved, there was no reservation in him. He knew that God wanted him to be a missionary. And when he got back, he told his father, and his father did not like it. His father told him he was an idiot. He was a fool to go over to some far country to these poor people and preach to them when he had the whole Borden fortune at his feet. And his father made him choose. Told him that if he chose to follow the path of a missionary, that he would never, ever have part in that company again. And that boy put the date down and he wrote under no reserve. He wrote these words. Let me make sure I get it right. He wrote, no retreat. I won't go back. God's called me. I won't go back. He went to Yale. Yale at that time was putting out preachers. And he went to Yale. And then he went to Princeton Theological Seminary, Theological University, and prepared for the mission field. When he had all of his studies behind him, he took off. He was going to go to China, to the northern part of China, and he felt like God was leading him to be a missionary to the Muslims in the northern part of China. Beloved, he had to go to Egypt first and learn the language. So he stopped in Egypt. And about 2 or 3 weeks after he got to Egypt, this young man, 25 years old at that time, contracted cerebral meningitis. He was dying. His friends heard about it and they said, how could he be so foolish? He could have been home with the Borden fortune. He could have had everything that the world had to offer. But he went to a foreign field and contracted this disease. They said he was foolish. What a fool he was. He died. from that disease, never made it to the mission field. But when they got his belongings back, his mother called in his father, called in all of his friends who had said he was a fool. And she took out of his belongings his Bible. And she opened that Bible and she passed it around for everyone to see, because on that page where he had written no reserve, no retreat, just before he died, he wrote no regret. No regret. Beloved, he wasn't a fool. He was a genius. He lived his life for God. For God. Listen. Beloved, you say, but what about all that? Listen. He gave up that which he could not keep for that which he could never lose, beloved. That's not a fool. That's a genius. That's a genius. Look at verses 6 and 7. And the Bible says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. You know, those beloved who accumulate money and things, they think they're untouchable. They think, beloved, that they are royalty. They think, beloved, they will never know sorrow because of their wealth. But, beloved, I'm going to tell you something. God will touch them. God will touch them. Those who love money more than they love God, God will touch them. God will show them sorrow such as they can never imagine. God will show them they're not royalty, but God will show them what they really are. What they really are. I don't know about you. Let me get political here. Very, very politically incorrect. Hillary Clinton and that crowd up there, they think they are above God, in my opinion. They think, beloved, their wealth and their power, they can't be touched with anything. But I'm telling you something, God can touch them. And some of them up there, beloved, I'm going to tell you what, I'd whole lot rather be me when I stand before God than be them when they stand before God. When they stand before God. But this is commercial Babylon. This is how commercial Babylon thinks. Look at verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Her judgment will come, beloved, in one day. In one day. And let me tell you something, this is worldwide. This is worldwide commercial and economic collapse in one day. In fact, we're going to see in a minute, 1 hour. In 1 hour. Look at, I'm going to read verses 9 through 19. This is a lot of scripture. So I'm going to read it and I want you to listen very carefully and read with me. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth her merchandise, their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels amongst precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odor myrrhs and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruit that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein was made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. These verses show us the reaction of the world to Babylon, commercial Babylon's destruction. Beloved, I want you to notice there are three groups that bewail the loss of commercial Babylon. In verse 9, beloved, first there's the kings of the earth, and they shall bewail her. What did they do when religious Babylon was destroyed?
They rejoiced.
But buddy, this is their love. This is their life. This is what they live for. This is everything to them. This is their money and their wealth. And this is commercial. They bewail her. Verse 11. We see the merchants of the earth. And the Bible says they weep and they mourn over her. In verse 17, every shipmaster cried when they saw, in verse 17, 18, cried when they saw her smoke. This tells us that this is commercial Babylon. The foundation of the city is commercial. Is commercial. This is world trade, beloved. Gone. Just like that. Notice in verse 12 through verse 13, beloved, 28 items of merchandise are mentioned. Now, 7 in the Bible, those of you who've been with us, you know that 7, that the Bible's numbers have meaning. Amen? It's called Bible numerology. The number 7 in the Bible, what does that mean?
Perfection
or completion. Remember, the Lord created the world in 7 days. It was complete. It was complete. So 7 is the number of completion. Now, 4 in the Bible is what? Anybody know? Give you a hint. 4 points to the compass. The 4 corners of the world, of the earth. The 4 winds. What is 4? What's the meaning of the number 4? Worldwide. Universal. That's what 4 means. Now, 4 and 7 is what? 28. Beloved, what we're seeing here is a worldwide, complete economic collapse of the whole world. Beloved, this is the merchandise of commercial Babylon that it offers to the world. Now I want you to notice the last 2 items of merchandise in verse 13. What are they? Slaves and the souls of men. Beloved, commercial Babylon traffics in slaves and the souls of men. This is what commercial Babylon is really about. This is what, and by the way, commercial Babylon is also this world system. This world system. When the Bible says, beloved, friendship with the world is enmity with God, it's talking about the world system, beloved. The world system. But this is what commercial Babylon is really about. This is why God judges her. Because she traffics in slaves and the souls of men. Now somebody says, slaves? Preacher, there are no slaves today. Well, first of all, you're dead wrong. But I got news for you. You and I are slaves of commercial Babylon. And I can prove it to you. Beloved, this world system enslaves us. And we don't even realize it. Don't even realize it. Do you know that 60% of what you earn goes to taxes? Now, Trump ain't got his tax cut. 60% of what you earn goes to taxes. You know, beloved, that we are in economic bondage to this world system. We're slaves. We're slaves. Do you know, beloved, that companies, corporations, businesses, a lot of them today, require their employees take classes in TM and yoga. TM, Transcendental Meditation and Yoga. They require it. Do you know what TM and yoga is? That's Eastern mysticism. But they make their employees go through these classes. Do you know that companies, corporations, a lot of them, require their employees to go through sensitivity training or diversity training. When I worked at Barton, I had to go to a diversity training class. It was required. When Martha worked at Merck, she had to go through a diversity training class. They make you do it. And you say, what is a diversity training class? They teach you, beloved, to not offend the gays. They teach you, beloved, to respect and to not offend other religions. That's what they taught us at ours. And you had to be aware of the culture of the culture of the students, and you had to follow their culture and not offend them. What about my culture? What about them offending me? But you had to do that. They made you, beloved, sit in those classes. You were forced to do it. You were a slave. You're a slave. Many, y'all know this is true. Many companies require their employees to work on Sunday, which is set aside by God to worship Him. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong? And you have to do it. You have to do it, or else, beloved, you don't have a job. Listen, I'm not telling you that you have a choice. You don't. That's why I say you're a slave. You're a slave. You're forced to work your life away. You know, I worked at Firestone for a while. And I'm going to tell you what. Firestone is a wonderful place to work if you live to work. But if you work to live, it is not a good place. I'd work 10 hours And just about 5 minutes before time to get off, they say, we need you to stay over a couple more hours. A couple more hours. And you stay over 2-4 hours. And then you get up next morning and do the same thing again. Over and over and over. And you know, people work at Firestone, make good money. Good money. But beloved, I'm going to tell you what, it ain't worth it. I don't live to work. I work to live. To live. I thought farming was bad, Jason, until I went to Firestone. You're a slave. You're forced to work your life away, many times against God's commandments, to pay your debts. To pay your debts. I'm going to say something now. I probably lost you with commercial Babylon, the world system, and I'm going to say something, and I hope this will clarify it, and it'll make you understand why I say we are slaves to commercial Babylon. And before I say this, ladies, don't you get angry with me, what I'm about to say. Just hear me out. And when I get to the end, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. When I get to the end, if you still disagree with me, come up to me after the thing and tell me I'm wrong. I'll show you how this world system works. Throughout the centuries, as long as man can remember, women stayed home and kept the children. They nourished them, nurtured them, but they did more than look after their physical needs. Mama taught them. Mama taught them the Word of God. Mama taught them right from wrong. Mama taught them how to treat others. Mama taught them respect. Mama taught them work ethic. Mama taught them all of this and more throughout the centuries until the 20th century. In the 20th century, we had 2 world wars. When World War II came along, the 2 world wars were because of the world system. Okay? This world system. But I won't get into that. World War II came along and all the men, or most of the men, were overseas fighting. And they needed to make weapons, they needed to make goods, they needed to make to manufacture over here. And the women had to fill the men's places in the factories. They called her Rosie the Riveter. And when they did, and they did a fantastic job, by the way. But when they did, the ladies found out something. Like when Eve bit that apple and she found out something. Beloved, when they bit that apple, they found out, guess what? They didn't need a man.
That's right.
They found out that they could make money. Money. So the war ended. And the 50s came. And the 50s, 60s were prosperous times. They were coming out with all kinds of new things. I mean, TVs and modern kitchens and all vacuum, all these things they came out with. And everybody wanted those things. But to have those things, you had to have money. And so the women, when the men came home, they stayed in the factories and they stayed in the offices and they made money. But what happened to the kids? That all those centuries they had been nurturing and teaching these wonderful virtues to. The kids were left to be taught by the TV and the Hollywood crowd and the schools. And liberalism had come into the schools. And when this happened, the divorce rate shot way up here. Didn't need men anymore. And the marriage rate went way down here. During those times, I lived those times, 60s. Feminist movement began. Homosexuality, men and women, began to grow. Abortion came on the scene. And what happened to the kids? The kids grew up not knowing right from wrong, because there was nobody there to teach. Not knowing the Word of God, because there was nobody there to teach them. Not knowing how to respect those who are older. Not having a work ethic. And money was so plenteous because, man, they were life was so full of things and money. So that's all the kids cared about, was things and money. And it got to the point where it is today. Now, let me say this. When this thing started, right after the war, it was choice. Women chose to work. But, beloved, as things went on, as time went on, and the money came, beloved, and the things came, guess what? It got to the point, it won't choice anymore. You had to work. Man and wife, in most families, had to work to keep until it is where it is today. Where, beloved, in most families, the man and the woman have to work. Martha got her first job. Well, after we got married, we had a baby get sick. Adam got sick. We had to put the doctor told us we had to take him to the hospital. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any insurance. I was a preacher. I went down to a loan company and borrowed $2,000, wasn't it? So I could put him in the hospital. And we decided then that Martha had to get a job with insurance. She started working only for the insurance. That was the reason. For the insurance. As far as the money, she didn't get that much. And if she'd have had to pay the babysitter, she wouldn't have got anything. But you know what? When she got that job, that little bit of money, we started depending on it. Depending on it. And now, guess what? She's got to work. If she don't work, I'll have to. But you see, that's the world, beloved. This world system has led us down this path where now, beloved, you've got to do it. You've just got to do it. And look at the mess we've got. The world system did that. It's made us slaves, beloved. We're slaves. She deals in slaves and the souls of men. That's what she's after. To pull you away from God. To pull people away from God. To pull our children away from God. And brother, she's done it. And let me tell you, this has all happened in the last 70 years. 70 years. And we look at what we've got today. Beloved, if that don't tell you that we are this close to the rapture and the tribulation. Babylon the Great. But in the tribulation, she's going to be destroyed. And let me say this. They traffic in the souls of men because that's what Babylon is after. They keep you in debt. They keep you in bondage to money and things. And you spend your life in the pursuit of money rather than the pursuit of God. Of God. It's your soul that Babylon is after. My time is all gone. Verse 20. God tells the prophets and the apostles to rejoice at her destruction. Why? Because this is the vengeance of God upon her. And I'm running through this. Verses 21 and 23. Bible says, all nations are deceived. Boy, has she deceived us. All the nations are deceived by her. But beloved, in verse 23, it's all over. Commercial Babylon is destroyed. Let's read that really quick. Verse 23, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. If you'll check those three verses, you're going to find, beloved, that the entertainment industry is gone. It's gone. And the industrial part is destroyed. It's gone. The craftsman, it's gone. It's all gone. Destroyed. Verse 24. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's these two, Babylon, religious Babylon, and commercial Babylon, that is destroyed. And that's what begins and brings about the first two hallelujahs in chapter 19. Look at chapter 19 again. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Two hallelujahs for the two parts of Babylon that are destroyed. God's going to destroy it all for what is done. What is done to this world. I'm sorry I had to fly through the end. And I'm sorry I kept...